Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
This time of worship to the book of Romans, chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1, and then we'll read down through verse number 12. Normally, I don't like to read as long a passage, but I need to in terms of a backdrop. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But, and there is a but, that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they've earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God. A God who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord has cleared, whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. And now is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for the uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we've been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised? Or was it before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. The word of God for the people of God, blessed be the name of God. You may go to your seats around the building. I want to talk in this service, and I got to walk over here and grip my phone because I have some notes on it I need to lift. Out of sight. That's what I need. Thank you, Teddy. You saw it. Teddy, you quick. Amen. He said, where's his phone? Yeah, I need my phone. Plus, I need my phone so I can talk to some of y'all who are out there watching who text me during my preaching. Amen. Y'all didn't know folk were doing that. Yeah, they text me while I'm preaching and all that kind of thing. I don't read every text, though. I'm not reading every one of them, but some of them will pop up as I'm sharing. And so we're certainly grateful for that. Out of sight. I talked tonight, and again, I was talking about, I'm really dealing this weekend with that theme of righteousness and how we live or should live our lives right in the eyesight of God. Right in the eyesight of God, which sometimes people will think they are out of his sight. That's why there are some persons who will act differently when certain people are around. We acted differently when our parents were around. We acted differently when certain people of faith are around. When we think we are out of sight, that's a dangerous place, because you know, as believers, you're never out of sight. Not only are you not never out of sight, but you're never at a point where you can vocalize anything and he does not know about it. You think when this era of quarantine, social distancing, you think that because we are out of sight. But you have to realize you're not out of God's sight. Somebody says, out of sight, out of mind. No. You are not, you are in the mind of God, you are in the heart of God, you are in the spirit of God. There are many persons, and again, we do know one of the lessons we have learned during this pandemic, and of course, we have many persons who are now watching online, out of sight. I don't know what you look like. That's why persons will engage on Zoom and they never turn their cameras on. They stay out of sight. Sometimes they would make the decision to be out of sight, but then they will put up a profile picture. Of course, this is normally a picture showing the best of you. You're not going to catch you putting up a profile picture. I'm thinking about putting a profile picture up. I was scrolling through photos the other day, Ron, and I saw a picture of when I was a senior in high school. And I'm thinking about on my Zoom of putting that profile up. I was lean, mean, hair thick and long. I know y'all want to see that picture. So, but the point of the matter is that sometimes we think that we are out of sight, but God sees us. You're out of sight, but other people need your witness. I'm distanced from church, but not distanced from God. Someone needs to know that I am a lover of Jesus, even when I'm out of sight. I'm nowhere near the church. Matter of fact, Peter said he would never deny Jesus. And then the point came, he ends up denying Jesus. And then he ends up trying to speak words. And they said, your speech betrays you. So even though you're trying to act like you from the streets, we know you've been with Jesus. Out of sight. That's the backdrop. That's the thing that we look at in these moments that we'll share together. There are three areas we're going to look at this morning. Number one, we are not called to impress God, but to simply be obedient. You cannot impress God. How are you going to impress God? Miracle worker. How are you going to impress a God who could make something out of nothing? There's nothing we can do to impress God, but we can, Adam, be obedient. I'm being obedient to God. And as I'm obedient to God, then God is able to bless me. In my humanity, in my shortcomings, in my human failures, God can still meet me. Sometimes that's why some of us, we have been out of sight, but we come into worship because while we were out of sight from people, God was still blessing us. You are the embodiment of the love of God. You've seen him work in those quiet places, those dark places, those low places, even when you were out of sight. And the second thing that we look at this morning is Jesus stands ready to forgive you of your sins while you've been out of sight and you've been doing some stuff you shouldn't have been doing. He still says, I can forgive you. Why'd y'all get so quiet on that point? He stands ready to forgive us. We're not talking about big sins, little sins. I'm not as bad as she is. I'm not as bad as he is. No. He still stands. Come unto me who will labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whosoever will, let him come. No matter where you've been, what you're going through. In the quiet corridors of your home, no matter what your life consists of, Jesus stands ready. And the third thing, the faith of the believer must go deeper than the skin. Your faith is deeper than what I see on your exterior. Come at it again. Frank, it's out of sight. It's out of my visible sight. One of my favorite shows growing up was Superman. I love Superman because Superman had X-ray vision. And I always kind of thought about I didn't like the kryptonite part. But I did like that he was faster than a speeding bullet. I like that he could leap tall buildings with a single bound. I love those parts. The Man of Steel. Those are the positives of Superman. But I'm talking about a super God who is able to do super things in your life better than a Marvel character. Even though we're out of sight, we see God moving. We see miracles taking place. We see things happening that lift us, Callahan, from low places. Out of sight. If we could gather today and say, let's just shower this pulpit with testimonies. How God has met us when we've been out of sight. How God has kept you over these last 16 months. How God continues to answer your prayers. And I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not alluding to that at all. But I am saying that God can meet us in those quiet places when we're out of sight. When we're working remotely. That's what they do. Matter of fact, persons that have been working at home and they come and many times dress from the waist up. Then there have been some persons who have been caught in that. They got up, forgot that the camera could catch other parts of them. Some very embarrassing scenes have happened to some persons where they were, and I don't even understand why you would only put clothing on from the waist up. I don't understand that. But anyway, that's a whole nother issue. Out of sight. The faith of the believer must go deeper than the skin. I need more than just a skin faith. The persons who doesn't take much to ruffle them. Doesn't take much for them to have a flashback. Doesn't take much, and you haven't been on a football field, so you can't blame it on concussions. You haven't had any of that. You had that. What you're dealing with is a spiritual issue. Even though it's out of sight, I'm praying about it. We pray for ourselves. We need prayer from others, and we also pray for ourselves. You need to know God to be able to have a conversation with him. We have a conversation with everybody else without texting. Matter of fact, you see folk now who sit down at a dinner table. Everybody's got a cell phone and everybody's on the phone. All heads are down. Some of them are texting across the table. We're looking at pictures. We're looking at this. We're looking at that. Matter of fact, there's some person you're trying to engage them in conversation, but their eyes and focus are downward. The thumb, they have mastered the thumbs. They mastered it. They can quickly. They're not going like some of us. We go. But when you really got it mastered, you just. You wonder how fast they can move like that. Out of sight. Sometimes don't you want to look and see who they're talking to? Just a little peek. What is it that has engaged you? Let's look at this. We're not called to try, well, number one, to impress God, but to simply be obedient. God is calling you simply to be obedient. These words of scripture, you'll study it, some of you will, in our SBI this morning. But we look at Abraham being obedient unto God. Now, you know the moment of Abraham that rings it is, of course, Abraham and his son Isaac and going up to make the sacrifice. And Isaac is going and then comes to realize he don't see a sacrifice. And he realized he's a sacrifice. But Abraham, only son, is simply being faithful.
We've not been called to impress God, but simply to be obedient. I want to be obedient to God. Even when I don't understand it, I want to be obedient to God.
Time out for folks. I can't tithe. He did. You don't know my situation. Be obedient to God. That's not supposed to make sense. It's a faith step. I don't understand how God is going to meet me. Believe in him. Trust in him. And you just simply call to be obedient. Obedient. Worship is obedient. Prayer, being evangelistic, just be obedient. Verse number 2 of chapter 4. If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. Just because, again, I talked about, you hear my sermon of last night coming up. Just because you went to church, just because you are a Christian, does not give you license to talk down to others. You're a child of God. And you cannot muscle people into salvation. You allow the light of Jesus to shine. Being loving, being understanding, and KK having a good memory. Why good memory? Good memory because I look at where God has brought me from and how God sustains us. So the goal of Abraham was not to brag about how great he is. Matter of fact, you can read it in several places in Scripture. If you're going to brag about anything, boast about God. He can deal with whatever situation, no mountain too high, no valley too low, no moment too dark, no place too dry, that he cannot, Marcia, meet us. If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God. I do good,
not to impress God, but I do good because I want to be pleasing in his eyesight. Good. You went to church this morning. Good. You read your Bible. Good. You pray. But that's what you ought to do. You ought to do that. Matter of fact, that's the least we can do. When you look at everything God has done for us, it's the least we can do is say, Lord, what is it that you would have for me to do? We've seen the best of our church during this pandemic. You've seen people who have risen up. Matter of fact, one of our persons told me just moments ago, he knows who he is. He says, you know, I've been here every weekend to feed. Every single weekend. I've not missed one. Not missed one. I was looking at one of the players last night's basketball game, of course, between the Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. And the Suns lost. But one of the players on the Phoenix Suns, a gentleman by the name of Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges went to Villanova University. While in college, he won 2 national championships. They were interviewing him because they wanted to know what he had learned in his college experience that helps him in the playoffs today. He ends up saying, he said, well, really, he says, the NBA is a whole different level than college. He says, I'm glad I had the experience, but what I'm experiencing now, whole different level. The interesting thing about Mikal Bridges is that he is now the holder of the playing the most consecutive games without sitting out because of an injury in the NBA. But not only is that impressive, but they talk to him deeper. And Mikal Bridges says, I have never missed a game since I've been playing basketball. All through high school, AAU, middle school, I have never missed a game. They said, how is it? He said, have you been injured? Have you ever been hurt? He said, I have had injuries, but I have always had enough strength to get to the court. What I'm saying to somebody who's out there today, in this life, you're going to experience some challenges, and those challenges could throw you off. But as Paul says, I've got to press toward the mark. And pressing is not always easy. There's so many people who are looking for the easy road. It's not, the spiritual life is not the easy road, but it is the blessed road, because as I go on the road, I don't have to go on the road by myself. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. You don't even see my posse. My posse is out of sight. My strength is out of sight. I don't know what you do that gets you ready for your daily activity and the daily grind. I don't see you. I don't know what your prayer life looks like. I don't know what your devotional life looks like. That's all out of my sight. But you know what you do and what you don't do, and whatever you don't do, it will show up. What you do in the dark can come to the light. That second thing is, Jesus stands ready to forgive you of your sins. I'm grateful for that, because all have sinned. Come on. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, yet Jesus stands ready to forgive you. That's good news. Matter of fact, that should have sent somebody just running through the church. And then somebody said, what did you do?
Jesus stands ready to forgive us of our sins. Romans 4, verses 7, 8 ends up in this text says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven. Whew. Stay right there, Reverend. Whose sins are put out of sight. That's real good. See, some folk will not ever let you forget your sins. Jesus said, I will put your sins out of sight. What joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Somebody ought to, that ought to give you goosebumps that you have been cleared. Let me say, come here. Let me help you with this. You were driving too fast. The lights are in the rear. You pull over. You know you were speed. You know it. You know you were over the speed limit. And then the person looks at you and they come in. No, normally they're not friendly. License registration. Usually kind of monotone, straight face, license registration. And then they take it, then they go sit in the car behind you. That's a terrible feeling when you're sitting there. Everybody driving past. People looking. And then even if you see somebody who you know, you just sitting there. And then officer comes sauntering back up to the door, looks back through the window. I'm going to let you go. It's a wonderful feeling. Oh, that's just beautiful. People told you that you drive too fast anyway. I mean, you didn't really want to hear that again from anybody else. And they say, we'll let you go. Normally, you don't even report that. You don't even tell anybody. It's just one of those, you know, you just kind of keep it to yourself. And typically, after they give you your license, registration back, you normally will pull out gently. You could be real good for the next 30 minutes at least. You go stop. I got a ticket one time, Ron. I was in college and I'd gone past a stop sign and the officer stopped me and said, you get a ticket because you didn't stop at a stop sign. I told him, I said, I'm from Jersey. I'm going to school in Norfolk. I was at Norfolk State. I said to him, I just did a moving stop. He said, if you're moving, that's not a stop. I was saying, I mean, come on. I look both ways. You put your foot gently on the brake. But it's a moving stop. He said, No. He says, I don't know what they do for you up there in Jersey, but you getting a ticket in Virginia for that. But the moment you get the release and you're able to drive off out of sight. The other thing that happens for us, and I know you said, Reverend, you tell it on yourself. But the other thing is have you ever gotten a piece of mail from the DMV? And you open it up because your name is on it, and you find out on such and such day, such and such time, you were going such and such amount over the speed limit. The relief of that is normally that it says it will not add any points to your license. Whew. I don't want that. And you want to deny it, but on that same piece of paper, there's a photograph. And then you got to look at it real close. And not only, it doesn't show you just one angle. You know it was you. Now, some of you have gotten real mad because it wasn't you, but it was somebody who you let drive your car that day. See, I wasn't in Southeast. Oh, but I know who was. Out of sight. The joy. The third thing that I want to share, and then we get ready to move on. The faith of the believer must go deeper than the skin. Whole lot of y'all look pretty good. You got a pretty good church look. Especially 7:30 in the morning. The fact that you got up, that ought to count for something. I got up early this morning. But your faith must go deeper than your skin. It's more than simply your religious look. You must have a faith that is to the very core of who you are. Romans 4:11 and then 12. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith, that God had accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. Circumcision was the cutting away of the skin. It's the cutting away. It is the symbolism of cutting away of, it says skin, but sin. It's a visible look. And so many persons now, we are more into our visualization. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook for seniors. But and we visualize. Matter of fact, we show happy lives. Everything's happy. Everything's nice. You know, we take selfies when we're at our best selves. And everything seems to be, your relationship is special. You show loving, so compassionate. Abraham is a spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. In other words, we look kind of rough on the outside. But not only are we rough on the outside, we've been rough on the inside. But God said, even in your roughness, I can save you. There's some persons, you can look at them and visibly be thrown off. You're not going to know their level of intelligence, their level of compassion, none of that. You cannot judge a book totally by its cover. Because some people are trying to throw you off. They don't want you to see it. Matter of fact, some of the most persons who have the most are trying to be as low-key as possible. They're not trying to show you how long their bank accounts are. They're not trying to wear their investment. They're trying to operate under the radar. But even though you might be trying to operate under the radar, you're still never out of sight from God. Because even when I'm out of sight from people, I know God is watching over me. Oh, yes, he is. Watched over you all last night. Watched over you all this week. Watched over you in every low place. And even when the worst of you came out, God was still watching over you. And I'm thanking God today that I can give God praise. I'm not worthy to do it, but I'm thanking God for the opportunity to lift up my hands, throw back. back my head, hallelujah, and give God praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise his name. I will give God the glory. Because when I think, hey, of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul got to cry out, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. I was out of sight, but not out of God's sight. He will watch over you. He will, the same God who sits high, looks low, throws out the lifeline. I thank God I've been out of sight, but God said, I see you. I'm blessing you. I'm sustaining you. I'm keeping you. I'm covering you. I'm thanking God. Yes. 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 Even when I've been out of sight from people, I haven't been out of sight from God. And what a great God we serve. Somebody out there right now, you out of my sight, but you're not out of God's sight. Somebody who said, I'm just slipping in church today. You might be out of my sight, but you're not out of God's sight. And I'm thanking God today that today can be a dynamic day in your life. The moment you say yes to the Lord, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to live for you. And even when I think that I've been operating out of sight, God can show up in my life.
Come on, clap your hands, everybody.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park.